Let us go into the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of your word this morning. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no contradiction. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. We declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are better for it. We are edified. And Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Look at something very important. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Which are able to make the wise unto salvation, that is through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul tells his spiritual son Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, from a child there will not imply when his mother just gave birth to him. Because in the real sense, when you give birth to a child, he needs to first learn language, communication, before he knows what scriptures are for. Are we together? How many of you gave birth to you just knew scriptures were about Christ? Are we together? Yeah? So, a good way to read that, or a better way, so to say, can be, and that from when you began in the Christian faith, and that from when you set out as a saint, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now, the word there, holy, is not a word that means without sin or without stain on your white. Holy there is the Greek word arios, and is a word that means distinct, designated, or set apart. Right? So, if we say we are holy, it means that. So, let me use a simple example. You know what they call the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit just simply means the Spirit set apart for a purpose. Are we together? So, in as much as your conventional understanding of holy might be without sin. Did I say the Holy Spirit sins? I didn't just say that. I just said, but when we say the Holy Spirit, it means a distinct spirit, yeah, with a particular what? Purpose. So, he says, from a child thou hast known the set apart scriptures. Now, Timothy will not be amongst the scriptures. Are we together? Yeah? The book of Timothy will not be, because Paul is just writing this letter to Timothy. So, when you see 2 Timothy, it is the second letter Paul is writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. And you know, you will not have 2 Timothy in scriptures without 1 Timothy. Yeah? So, 2 Timothy implies that this is a second letter. So, when it says Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise, it will be Genesis up unto where? Malachi. Are we together? So, Holy Scriptures are to make thee wise. The word there, wise, deals with a wisdom or an ability. Yeah? Or you can say skillful. So, Scriptures are to make thee skillful regarding what? Salvation. So, how do you know you've read Genesis to Malachi well? When you read and see God's saving plan. God's salvation plan. You know, as Christians, while growing up, we thought that Jesus is a different person from God. Yeah? Some people still believe that Jesus is a soft-hearted person, while God is a tyrant. Yeah? Some people still believe that Jesus is the, you know, junior version of God. Are we together? Look at John chapter 14, verse 6 quickly. Bible says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the word there, truth, is the word that means reality. Yeah, so Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Right? Now, the word there, truth, is reality, like I just said. So, Jesus is saying, I am the way, I am the reality that is the life. So, when you see scriptures where it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. Is it about confession in police station? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Speaks about a person. Yeah? That person is the person that you see here. Jesus says, I am the truth. Are we here? So, you shall know the truth, and brother. I am the way, that is the truth, and the life. So when you see Jesus is the way, don't think of Jesus as the ladder that connects to God. Let me show you something. Look at verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my... Okay, hold on. Go back to verse 4. Let me show you something quickly. Look at verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Hold on. Thomas asked a question. We don't know where you are going to, so how can we know the way? Then what did Jesus now reply with? I am the way, the truth, and life. Hold on, hold on. Look at verse 7 now. If you had known me, you should have what? Known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Okay, look at verse 8. Let's read verse 8 together. Quickly, another disciple, Philip. What did he say? 1, 2, 3, go. So Philip said, all this grammar you are speaking is in Greek. Show us the Father and that will be enough for us. What did Jesus say in verse 9? Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you and yet has not known me? Hold on. Who did Philip say show us the Father? Who did Jesus say you've not known me? So he says, have I been so long with you and yet you don't know me? Philip? So what he says next, he that hath seen me hath what? Seen the Father. And how sayest thou then show us the Father? So Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Look at Isaiah chapter 14 quickly. 9:6. How did I miss that? Look at it. It says, Isaiah now says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is what? Given. A child is born, a son is given. See what it now says. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor. Hold on. Who is this child Isaiah is speaking about? Jesus. So what shall his name be called? Wonderful Counselor. The what? The what? In case that's not enough for you, what's the next? So Jesus is the mighty God who is the everlasting Father. Are we here? So Jesus is not God when he came down. You know, like I said something, if God is the beginning and the end, and he knows the beginning and the end, and knows the end from the beginning, yeah, it means that he cannot be taken unawares. Are we here? Let me give you a question, right? If I slap you, the only reason why you want to respond to me and be angry is because it shocked you. Are we together? Yeah, but if he knew what would happen ahead, two things. Either he receives a slap with thanksgiving, or he prevents himself from being slapped. So anger is found in the bosom of beings who are reactional. Are we here? I'll say that again. Anger is found in the bosom of beings who are reactional, who cannot see more than their nose. So if you get home right now and your landlord locks the gates, you'll get angry because he shocked you. Are we together? So if God is a God who knows the end from the beginning, he can never be angry. Because whatever man will do can never shock him. Are we here? So when you read through scripture, when it says the anger of God, it is a figure of speech. Yeah, that same God who you would have thought is the God of anger. You know, God is a God that does when he likes, when he feels like doing. Your God is not stable. In fact, some men are more stable than your God. Let me say that. Some men who are not even Christians have more self-discipline not to act anyhow. Are we together? So, what did God do through Jesus? Jesus came to reveal the personnel of God. So, people would have said, the God that answered by fire, let him be my God. What do you do when they sing that song? Okay, look at John. Or look at Luke. Let's look at Luke. Luke chapter 9. Verse 52. And he sent messengers before his face and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Look at verse 63. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. See what disciples did in verse 4. You know what that means? It means that, imagine I send 5 of you to go and prepare, we'll say 2 for me. The Lord of hosts is coming. And as you go to prepare, they reject you. I say, go on, if I, you know how they behave, right? And out of anger, because of your love for me, see, you know it's not easy to handle rejection. That's why some people, when they are going to get rejected, you think they rejected your destiny. See, let me show you the extent of the rejection and what it cost in the hearts of disciples. Look at the next verse. Let's read together. And when the disciples, James and John, saw what? The rejection. They said, Lord, would thou that we command fire to come down and destroy all of them? As who? Who is Elias? So, Jesus, see, give us the permission. In the name of Elijah, let us call down fire. How would they reject you, Lord and Savior, like you? What did Jesus say in verse 55? Bible says, he turned and he rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit ye are of. Verse 56, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them, and they went to another village. So it means that if Jesus stood side by side with Elijah, he would scold Elijah. So when you see Elijah called down fire and God responded, was it God? It can never be God. Because Jesus is now the face that reveals the person of God to mankind. So if Jesus never did it, God has never and will never do it. So God did not sit in one terrestrial atmosphere and say, Jesus, go and show them one side of me. No. Jesus is the face of God. That means if you want to understand God, you cannot understand God without understanding Jesus. Remember, unto us a son is given. What is the name of the son? The mighty God, the everlasting Father. Are we together? So it's interesting what you see saying, see, my God is a good father. You are a good, good father. He's who you are. He's who you are. But on the next Sunday, every man oppressing me, what are you living for? Some assault, catch fire, and be destroyed. So, you know, my God is a God that is very good. But if you try me, he will show you. Look at it. I'm a Christian, you are a Christian. God is for me. I will say he is for me. He is for me in my weeping. You too, you will say he is for you. But you are my boss in the office, or you are my colleague in the office. And maybe you do something to me. Who should God defend, you or me? Let me tell you, he is for him and he's for you. Yeah. So when you deal with life and deal with life challenges in your office, yeah, there are a lot of things you need to bring God into. If God did not destroy one person in the person of Jesus, let me say it this way. If Jesus did not destroy one person throughout his walk on earth, God has never and will never use ISIS to teach the people of God a story or a lesson. If you throw God up, any side that shows to you is good. That is why we are doing a series like this. We're trying to go back to Genesis to investigate the destructions that happened. You know, some people might be in their mind, but Pastor, what happened to those people? Should this God that said, yeah? Remember, we've explained in beginning series or beginning part of this series that the fact that the Bible says God doesn't mean it is God. Is that true? Remember, we did that in 1 Corinthians and 1 Chronicles, 2 Samuel. Yeah, when it says the anger of the Lord moved David to number the people. And just a book or two books after, we see the anger. We see Satan. Are we together? Yeah, so Paul tells Timothy, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto God's saving power. Let me now tell you. It means that in the books of the Bible, when you see that God instructed Moses to destroy, God instructed this king to destroy, it means that you have to carefully read it to see God's saving plan well knitted around those stories. Are we together? Never forget 2 Timothy chapter 3. Scriptures are to make thee what? Skillful unto. So it means that when you read Genesis to Malachi, it will live there with the wisdom of God that it destroys. You've not read it well. Are we together? Look at Luke 24. Verse 24. So we are using the person of Jesus to go back and reinvestigate the person of God. Did you get that? Yeah? I'll say it again. Jesus is the totality of God. So Jesus is God made flesh. We are now trying to use the totality of God made flesh to understand God. You know why a lot of people attributed a lot of things to God in the Old Testament books? But they had not seen the fullness of God in the person of Jesus. Are we here? Are we here? Are we here? So please follow attentively, right? So look at Luke 24:24. Certain of them which went with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Look at verse 25. And Jesus said unto them, oh what? Fools. Why did he call them fools? Because they were not reasoning deep. So he says, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have. So where did the prophets speak? We see it in Genesis 2, Malachi. What were they to do with the prophets and their speaking and their writing? They were to believe. What did they not do? What did he call them? Fools. Today's teaching will help us a lot. You know, let me tell you where we are going to. We're trying to explain who the helpmeet of man is. You know that teaching that says that as a man, if you find a woman, you should see, a woman is the helpmeet God prepares for you. If you miss your woman, you miss it. You see, there's some favors that will never come into your life without marrying the right woman. You are going towards the express. So, see, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What did they speak? Look at verse 26 together. 1, 2, 3, go. So it means in the writings of the prophets, we are to see how they spoke about Christ's suffering and his entering into his glory. What did Jesus now do? Look at verse 27. And beginning at where? So what does beginning at Moses mean? Beginning at the writings of Moses. So beginning at the writings of Moses, then the writings of the prophets. Did I read that well? Yeah? What did he do? He expounded unto them in all the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi. Is that true? The things concerning himself. So he expounded, that means he explained across scriptures the things concerning himself. So what did he do? He went to Genesis and said, that is about me. This is about me. And how many days did he do it for? Acts 1, 2, 3. Jesus taught them for 40 days back to back without suya night, without mortar Guinness, without table tennis, without monkey post. For 40 days. Am I saying there's anything wrong in putting monkey post? No. I just simply said that the disciples were so attentive for 40 days listening to Jesus teach solely from scriptures. So when Jesus resurrected, he didn't begin to say, see where they flogged me. You see, this place, that's where that name, you see, when he knocked it, you know, knock is Nigerian, so I'm trying to use a Nigerian version. So when he, inside, this is where he entered. Check my back now, it's me now. I'm the Jesus now. See my back. Check it. You see that line? Now say, wow. Oh my God. In fact, the person that looked forward to looking for where the nail entered is the person we call Doubting Thomas today. Jesus said, blessed are those who do not see but believe. Hallelujah. 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 So we see that Jesus took them through scriptures from Genesis up unto Malachi to explain himself from scriptures. So we start looking at Genesis, and we've been in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Is that true? Yeah? We started explaining what the Garden of Eden means. Is that true? And we said the Garden of Eden speaks about a special place God gave Adam. And we said that in the garden there were two trees. The tree of what? Life, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we explained that those trees were not literal at all. Have we cleared that? Right, beautiful. Yeah, so if that is still quite new to you, you might want to lay your hands on the series, right? So we explained that God gave an instruction about eating the tree of life or not eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then Jesus, who is God, now came to explain to the people and say, are you without sense? Don't you know that whatever a man eats doesn't go to his heart, but to his stomach and to the toilet? So it means that what Adam did that defiled Adam was not a physical food that he ate. I can assure you, a lot of believers still believe it's apple.
by the grace of God.
Altogether. But just like Jesus would say, my master, my Lord, and Savior. See, are you also without sins? I didn't say it. I said, my master. You know, I didn't say . So, Jesus said, don't you know that what you eat does not go to your heart? It goes into your stomach, even though heart there will be what? Figurative for your person or your totality of your mind or your being, so to say. Yeah, it goes to your stomach and you go to the toilet. I said, there's somebody here who has not gone to the toilet since they gave birth to him. Are we together? Are we here? So we started explaining what the Garden of Eden spoke about. Now, look at what James or Philip says to Nathanael in John chapter 1, verse 45. Bible says, Philip finds Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did what? Write about. Who did they write about? Jesus. So it means that you must look at... So, let me ask you a question. Is there anybody here who has read the book of Genesis and seen the name Jesus Christ? Anybody here? So, it says, beginning at Moses in Luke, he explained himself. Philip says to Nathanael, see, come. This is the person that Moses wrote about. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Look at what Jesus himself said in John chapter 5, verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Hello? Did Moses write of Jesus? Yes and no. It took Jesus' confession for us to know that he wrote about him. Are we together? So Jesus says that if you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. Look what he now says in verse 47. Let's read verse 47 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Jesus says, if you believe not his writings, how will you believe? So it means that the words of Jesus were from the writings of Moses. Are we here? So Jesus did not talk out of the blues. Yeah? Jesus taught from the writings of Moses and the prophet. So let's go back and continue investigating Moses. Now remember, Acts chapter 7:22 before we go. Acts 7:22. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in what? Words and in deeds. So we see in scriptures that Moses was a very intelligent man. It is the wisdom of Moses that enabled him to write Genesis the way he did. Are we together? Remember, when was Moses born? Exodus chapter 1, 2, 3. So it means that everything that happened in Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 50, Moses was not there. Is that true? Moses was not there. But yet he wrote. Now we've established that the mode of communication for stories from time past is what you call the oral tradition. Yeah? So how do you know about your great-grandfather who you've never seen? Your father told you with word of mouth stories about him. So, think about it. Imagine this is Moses. Please come. Imagine this is Moses, right? Imagine this is Moses and his father, right? Remember, Moses was from the Levitical tribe. So, Moses' father tells Moses stories about Abraham. Then Moses uses those stories he has been told to write about who? Jesus. Did you get that? Moses was told a story. So, look at Moses' father there, right? Let's assume he's sitting down. So, Moses' father is giving him a story of his great-grandfather, or things that happened before him. He, full of wisdom in Egyptian language, remember, for him to communicate God's word, it is to the degree of the wealth of his knowledge. You cannot speak more than what you know. All together? How many of you can just come out now and just say, metamorphosis? Pastor, I don't know the meaning of the word, though, but I know that there's a word like that. For you to say metamorphosis, it means that it is somewhere in your subconscious. Are we together? Yeah? You cannot just come and just say paraplephias. That is why, if you are doing, except you just want to show off for nonsense, if you are doing tongue interpretation and you don't know what paraphilia is, and you're saying, by the paraphilia of the denomination, okay, you're just speaking grammar. So, Moses, in his wisdom, which is the Egyptian education, will communicate truth about who? Jesus. Please go back to your seat. So, it means that when you now pick Moses' writings and see Moses write about so many stories, he's writing about a story. How do we know today? Jesus told us, if you believe Moses, you believe me, because he wrote of me. Altogether. Now, let's go back to basics. Who were they, or who will you call the audience of Moses? This. Israelites. Where were the Israelites at that point in time? They were in Egypt. Do you understand? They were in Egypt. So it means that Moses would write with the wealth of knowledge in the Egyptian curriculum to teach his audience. Are we together? Let me give you an example. Imagine Abuja is a Yoruba city. Right? And I was born in Abuja as Moses. And I grew up understanding the language of Abuja, which is what? Yoruba. Beautiful. You're following. Yeah? If I'm to communicate any truth to you, what will determine how I communicate to you? It is a language I grew up learning in Abuja city, which is Yoruba. So if in Yoruba dialect, they call this bottle, if I'm to teach you, I will teach you this as bottle. Did you get that?
Yes.
Yeah? If they call this handkerchief, if I'm to teach you, I will use this handkerchief to teach you. So, the wealth of knowledge in Moses will determine his mode of communication to the people he spoke to. So, let's see what he did in Genesis 2. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. Genesis 2, verse 10. It says, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was what? Parted. And it became into four heads. Look at verse 15. We've read that over and over. And the Lord God took man and put him into where? The garden of, to do what? Dress and keep it. Now, what is the word there, garden? Gan, that's the Hebrew word gan. And it speaks about a secured, enclosed place. What's the word there, Eden? Luxury. Delight or pleasure. Right? So when you say Garden of Eden, it is an enclosed, secured place of pleasure. Get that? So what did God do with man? God took man and put man in his enclosed, secured place of pleasure, luxury, and delight. And what did he ask him to do? Dress it and what? Keep it. We've cleared that, right? Now look at verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet. Never forget, Jesus said, if you believe Moses, you believe me. For Moses wrote of me. You know, people have overthought on the favor that comes with man and woman getting married.
Hey.
Oh, no, 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 no. See, he that finds a wife has found a good thing. Oh, glory to God. And he obtained it. Look at him and say, obtained it. See, and he obtained favor from the Lord. So Jesus did not obtain favor from the Lord. Did Jesus marry? Did Paul marry? How many of you have done that for what Paul has done? So how many of us? Let me not say how many of you. How many of us? I'm married though. Eh? It's not about glory. It's about what have I done that is how the world Paul has done. Don't say glory anyhow. Glory is used for when we speak about our reality. So when the Bible says he that finds a wife, find a good thing, there are a lot of people finding a wife is finding a bad thing. So people, their lives started going opposite. So God cannot attach a woman. So that is why the teaching of, you know, where will you settle down? Anyway, when will you settle down? And I'm talking about wife. So he's floating. Marriage is about two settled people. Marriage in the from scriptures is about two settled people in Christ coming together to start a life and walk in love forever. You don't complete me. I don't complete you. Are we here? You are a complete person. I'm a complete person that came together because of, you know, that's why a lot of people teach a lot of very interesting things about, when I went to my husband and then I step into the bus, somebody said, come down, go to yellow bus. I went to the yellow bus, I sat down, and there's a man beside me. And he was smelling nice, but I didn't want to just walk in the flesh. And God just said, that is your husband. And look at us today. Let me tell you something. A lot of times, you marry someone you are attracted to. And let me tell you, is it Abby? You know, people like, you think I'm switching to marry seminar now? Hold on. You know, people like mystical. When I saw you, as soon as I saw you, it resonated with my heart. <His man. laughs> People are mocking me now. I'm not a photographer, but I can picture two of us together. Okay, back to reality. Now, we've thought a lot about this marriage thing. Do you understand? So people believe that before they get married, there must be something out of the blue. Did you hear a voice? My son, tell me, what did you hear? What did God? How did God tell you? Which language did he used to tell you? Your dialect or tongues? I've not met people who said, God said, this is my wife. Even the wife confirmed it. After 1 week of wedding, they went their ways. When it comes to marriage, there's nothing wrong in praying when you want to marry, but because men ought to pray and pray always. But you can marry successfully on earth without praying for a partner. Are we together? Now, when it comes to marriage, the question is, what does the Bible teach about marriage? So, people have used this scripture to teach that what? There is Adam was alone. In fact, I've even heard a very interesting teaching that, you see, what now? God gave Adam. In verse 15, the garden, to dress and keep it. So before you marry a man, it must be a man that has a walk. Oh, no, no. If the man is not walking, forget him. 2 weeks after he gets a job, he works in a multinational company. He said, but I knew God was telling me. Is that pastor that confused me? Don't confuse yourself. That's what you said. It's pastor that confused you, because pastor told you that if he's not working, don't go for him. So what did God do? God made the garden. That means God prepares a work first, then he gives a man. The man must find the work, and once he finds the work, he cannot dress and keep you. If he cannot dress his work, he cannot dress and keep you. Auntie garden. Uncle life. So the truth now remains that we need to be careful in examining what God's word says about marriage. So this man there, let's look at something. Moses used the word Adam for three different things in the book of Genesis. Please follow. This will help you understand the helpmeet. Moses uses the word Adam for three different things primarily in the book of Genesis. Number one, look at verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. Look at verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now look at verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Please, this is going to clear a lot of marriage misconceptions in our head. Let me read again. The rib which the Lord had taken from the man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. Now, the word there, man, is the same word Adam. Are we here? That same word Adam. In case you are not clear, go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. Please, let's read Genesis 5, verse 2 together. Genesis chapter 5, verse 2 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And called their name. Did you see that? So, male and female, he called them Adam. Is that your Bible? If you're not sure of the screen, look at your Bible. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Now look at verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his, and called him. So Adam begat a child. Hold on. Let's assume your theory of the image of God is you. Please, don't lose track here. Let's assume your theory of the image of God is you. Right from Adam's first child, Moses tells you it is in the image and likeness of Adam. So from Seth, all of you, you are away. You know, when I was younger, when somebody say, you know, you lose your big head, I say, I'm in the image and likeness of God. You know, now I look at it, I'm like, if this is how God looks like, see? Adam gave birth to a son, and Moses says it is after the image. So this will lead us to a teaching we will do subsequently in this series. Where do babies come from? Children should not come from immorality, adultery, fornication. It should only come from God's plan of marriage between a man and a woman. It means that if that's the way it was, we'll be safe. Selah. So some of you understand when you listen to the message again. We'll be safe. Are we together? Where do babies come from? Babies come from the mating between a woman and a man. And I mistakenly always pointed to another man. Between a woman, before this, before Brassan catch me after, I say, what, Pastor, what are you prophesying? Let me say it again. Comes between a woman and a man. Are we together? That's why the only one that defiled that logic was the birth of Jesus. Are we together? So, when you see your child behaving like someone who as soon as I say you get why, you can collect like terms. It's not, see, the apple doesn't fall far away from the tree. It's the truth. It's the truth. God has put in mankind a system that what can be passed from generation. Look at your load, though. You don't know book. What was your position in school? It's not far-fetched. He is in your image and likeness. That's why you see women, once our children don't do well, your son, see your son. But to the mother, once he's the man, the guy is doing fair, that's my son. Are we together? Yeah, you know, a few weeks ago, I was just thinking about, I was trying to think about my, when I was still much younger and how very corny I used to be. Not extremely corny. You know, but in my leg, I'm like, when I have a son and he starts doing all those things and I find out, how will I react? It's a very important question. I need to start asking myself. Because if I didn't give my parents too much headache, but I know amongst my siblings, I must have been the most stubborn. Yeah, I must have been the most playful and most careless. You know? But I will not be thinking, if my child comes home, you understand, and he's just behaving, where will I start from? This question, where will I start from? But one thing, the way you remind yourself, he is for me. He is for me. That child. And their children. And their children. That generation. Eh? He is for you. Eh? So when you remind the way God is for you, that child is for you. Not when he starts behaving, that's it. See, we have to go and do DNA test. Okay? He is for you. Yeah. So Moses says that what? He begat in his own, not in the likeness of God. Are we here? So let's assume your theory of God made man in his image, the image of God. It means that Adam did not even acknowledge his immediate son as the likeness and image of God. So it means we need to go back and revisit who the image and likeness of God is. Jesus tells you already, if you believe Moses, you believe. For he wrote. Are you learning something? Beautiful. So go back to Genesis 2 verse 18. So that word there, Adam, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man, that's the word there, Adam. That word is actually mankind. It will come clearer, right? Okay? That word there, man, is actually mankind, not the male species of Eve. So the Lord God saw that it is not good that the man should be alone. He now says, I will make him an helpmeet for him. The word I will make is a word that means to accomplish or to produce. Please follow. I will make there is to accomplish or to produce, to do something. So I will make him, that means I will accomplish for him. I will produce for him. And help meet. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, the words help meet are not separate words. They are a single word, and the word is Ezer. E-Z-E-R. Ezer. E-Z-E-R. And I'll tell you the meaning of that word. I'll tell you the meaning of that word. Right? Have you finished writing that word? Ezer, right? E-Z-E-R. The meaning of the word means one who rescues from danger. Are we here? One who rescues from danger. So, is it Eve that rescued Adam from danger? One who rescues from danger, or one who supplies succor. Someone who supplies help. Yeah? So the word there, helpmate, is a word Ezer, and it means one who supplies help, or one who supplies succor, or one who rescues from danger. Let me ask you a question again. Who is talking here? Moses. Who is the audience of Moses here? Israelites. So it means that that word Ezer must be a word familiar to the Israelites. Let's see how Moses used that word. Now look at verse 20. And Adam gave, look at it, yeah? So, and Adam gave names to the castles and the fowls of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. There was not found one who would supply help or succor or rescue from danger. So let's see how Moses uses that word Ezer. Quickly, look at Exodus chapter 18, verse 4. And the name of the other was Eliezer. So you see that word Ezer? So that got it from two words. Yeah? Eli and Ezer. So for the God of my father said he was my what? So he says Eliezer, that is God of help. Or God is help. What will God that is do? He will be my help. In the real sense, what is he will be my help? He will deliver me from the sword of Pharaoh. Are we together? So Isa is a word that speaks about a kind of help that deals with rescue from the sword. Moses teaches that as sword of Pharaoh, but in the real sense, it's teaching about the sword of sin and death. Are you here? Have you gone home? So he says, Eliezer, it means God is my help, or God is help. He now says it, for the Lord God of my father said he is my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. So it means that the help is a help of deliverance. Are we here? Have you gone home? Don't go home. Look at Deuteronomy 33, verse 7. Did I say 33? 33, sorry. I was trying to see. Beautiful, yeah? Deuteronomy 33, verse 7. And this is the blessing of Judah. Right? And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an Ezer. An Ezer, that word, they help. Yeah, the Hebrew word is Ezer. Right? So, when you see Ezer from his enemies, what is that? Deliver from his enemies. So, it means that Moses is teaching about a God who will be an help from some enemies. Don't lose track of that. Look at verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. Now look at verse 29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. The shield of thy Ezer. Right? And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thy enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. So the word Ezer was used by Moses to teach about a help supplied. In the real sense, the help is about deliverance. Is that true? So, in understanding Genesis, you must understand Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Because the audience that he is writing to are the same audience. However, not in the generation of Adam. Are we here? I'll say that again. The audience that Moses wrote to were not in the generation of Adam. Nobody in the generation of Adam said was alive when Moses was writing the book of Genesis. Are we here? So it is Moses and his counterparts, people born not too far from when he was born and not too far from after he was born. Let me say it again. Not too far from before he was born, not too far from after he was born. Let me show you some other uses of that word. Look at Psalm 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob. What do you think the word Ezer there will be? Beautiful. Yeah? So it means that Ezer would imply to defend. We looked at it in Exodus, Deuteronomy, to imply to deliver. Right? Look at Psalm 33, verse 19. To deliver their soul from death and keep them alive. What do you think the word there is that will be? Deliver. Right? Look at 70 verse 4. Psalm 70 verse 4. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Yeah, so let's look at verse 5. Yeah, but I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my Ezer, that is my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. So the Lord is the help of mankind, that is the deliverer, or the one who brings deliverance to mankind. Look at Psalm 89, verse 19. Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. So it means those chosen out of the people are those who he has supplied help to. It will make sense towards the end of the teaching. Just keep following. Right? Look at Psalm 121 verse 1. I have exalted one chosen out of my people. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Hold on. The psalmist will say, I look up my eyes to the hills. Where cometh my help? But where does the believer look up his eyes to? Inside. Are we together? The psalmist will teach that help comes from the hills. The believer will teach that help comes from within. Please, I'll show you how that is. Yeah? Look at Psalm 124 verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord. So, our help is in the name of the Lord. What does that mean? Our help is based on the reputation of the Lord. Yeah? Are we together? Look at one more. Look at Hosea chapter 13, verse 9 to 10. Hosea chapter 13, verse 9 to 10. 9 to 10. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy Ezer. In me is thy helpmeet. Dear saints, all the Ezers we have looked at today, are they about women? Imagine all those parts where he was saying, for I will deliver you. He's now saying, I will give you a woman beside you. The same word is her. Now remember, all other prophets, including the psalmist, their scriptures will be the writings of Moses. So where did they learn about Ezra? They learned it from the writings of Moses. Are we here? So, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me you have a woman. Eh? In me you have a woman. Look at verse 10. I will be thy king. So what is in me you have help? I will be your king. Right? Where is any other that may save thee in all thy cities? What is in me you have help? I will be your king and I will save thee. Right? And thy judges of whom thou sayest, give me a king and princes. I'll be here. So we've looked at the word Ezer to speak about a deliverance from enemies. In the real sense, scripture tells you that scriptures are to make you wise unto what? So what do those deliverances mean? There will be types and shadows pointing to the deliverance that God brings in the person of Jesus. Don't lose track. All of you will smile very soon. This one, you are looking at me with your eyes. Go back to that office. See? Just follow. Yeah? You see, when we're teaching God's word, try. Once you think you are losing out, don't allow the devil make you think like, forget it, I can't get this one. No. Keep following. You will smile very soon. So, even your smiling, he's for you. If you like those smile, he's for you. So, they were speaking about a deliverance that God will supply. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. So, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden, thou may freely eat. Now, we said that there were two trees in the garden. Tree of what? Life. So, on Wednesday, we talked about the tree of life as the bread of life. Is that true? Yeah? So the tree of life is the bread of life. So the fruit from the tree of life is bread. Hallelujah. And bread is a person. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Are we together? He that eats of me shall live forever. See what he tells them. Look at it in verse 17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die. Now look at verse 18. The Lord God now said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make for him a deliverer. Now, it will mean that the reason for a helpmate is to show you that God knew what Adam would do. Are you here? Are you here? We've established that the helper is about a deliverance. a defense, a help, supply of succor. Do you understand? So God knew what would happen in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10, 1 to 10, when they will eat of the fruit. And before time, there's a plan for what? Help. Are we here? So what Adam did not take God unawares. Are we together? So he says, I will, remember, we said that word there, man is mankind. Yeah? So for mankind, I will make him help. Now let's see what happened in Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle. We taught in scriptures that the serpent there was not an animal. Is that true? Yeah? To think that animals used to think, used to talk before, don't allow that yellow book deceive you. They could just come like that and say, Eve? And she should not sing and say, yes, my friend. No. Let's stop playing. So, we saw that Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says that what? That old serpent, Satan. So, what was Moses using serpent to teach? Now, why do you suppose Moses used serpent to teach? Because in the audience of Moses, which were Israelites in Egypt, they knew what a serpent signified. They knew the cunningness that came with the serpent. So he uses that cunningness of the serpent that they know to write Genesis chapter 3. Moses could have chosen not to use serpent in Genesis 3. It was his choice. Why? Because there was no serpent. Are we together? So Revelation 12 verse 9 shows you that that old serpent, Satan the devil, Revelation 20 verse 2, that old serpent, the great dragon, Satan the devil. So what he's saying definitely here is just that Satan became involved. That's the devil. So look how he now says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto them, woman, unto the woman, yea, has God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you shall die. Hold on. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Forget God. Right? Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Dear saints, don't go home yet. Look at the next verse. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Dear saints, was there a physical fruit they were not to eat? No. Jesus says, don't you have sense that it is not what a man eats that defiles him? It's not what you eat that gives you wisdom. Are we here? So he now says that what? Oh, that the tree was good for food. This food, will it be food for the stomach that Moses is teaching about? Hold on. Right? He now says, she took of the fruit and did eat, and gave also her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. Fruit. Eyes. What's the correlation? And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves and made them aprons. Next verse. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. Remember, we did a teaching on the voice. The voice of the Lord speaks about what? His message. Voice cannot walk. Are we here? Voice cannot walk in the garden. There was no voice that was walking. Forget movie. So, the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day is not saying in the evening time. The word there, cool, is a very interesting word. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. So, it means that Adam heard God's voice, which is God's message, and what did they do? They hid. Right? They hid themselves from the presence of God amongst the trees in the garden. Now look at verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? Was God calling for Adam because he didn't know where Adam was? Everyone lift the right hand, everybody. Say this morning. Lift your right hand, touch your neighbor if your neighbor is sleeping. Say this morning. I am edified. I will not sleep. God doesn't sleep, nor slumber, and he is for me, and he is with me, and he is inside me. So when I am learning God's word, I will not sleep. Because if this was money heist, are we together? Yeah, if this was money heist, you will not sleep. Hey, how many of you used to watch Dego and Paloma that year? Look at this. You don't look at how did this man even remember all these very, very strange things? Yeah, so don't sleep, right? The Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? Look at verse 10. Let's read verse 10 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And said, I heard thy message and I was afraid, right? Because I was naked. And what did I do? I hid myself. Now, recall, the audience of the book of Genesis is who? Israelites. Israelites in where? Egypt. So Moses was writing to Israelites in bondage about how God would deliver his own Israel from bondage. Have you gone? Say it again. Moses was writing to the Israelites who were in bondage. So it means that physically they were experiencing bondage. But Moses used the bondage they were experiencing to write about the bondage that mankind fell into, and God will supply what? Defense, deliverance, succor. Are we here? Go back to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Now go to verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us. We looked at this on Wednesday. And we said, the man has become one of us simply means the word of us doesn't have a translation there. So it is the man has become one. And we said that become as one means to be different. Right? Now, man now knows good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Verse 23. Then the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden. Now verse 24. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims. Right, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The word there he drove out is the word garash. G-A-R-A-S-H. G-A-R-A-S-H. So he drove out is the word garash. Yeah? E-H. Now, if you want to understand, let me help you a little. This man, you know, if you read Genesis 3 verse 24 in layman language, it means that God only drove out Adam, but Eve was staying in the garden. Did you see what I just explained? Because he only said he drove out the man. Where is the woman? Do you understand? Moses could have said he drove. So in the real sense, the Hebrew word there is that, so he drove out Adam. If your mind thinks that Adam speaks about the male version of Eve, you will lose the point. Are we together? So he drove out. The word that garash is the word that means or implies to thrust out or to put away or to stay away. Garash, it means to stay away. So he says the day you finally eat is what will happen. You shall surely die. Go back to Genesis 2 verse 18. If you've been sleeping, sleep on. You know, I've been telling you, wake up before. Sleep on. Genesis 2 18. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Right? What will alone be? Can that be without help? Because the solution to alone is I will make him help. Altogether. So it is not good that man should be without help. Oh, glory to God. You will smile soon. You know, I've been telling you. You don't smile, the Lord is still for you. Look at verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast. Look at verse 20. And Adam gave name to the cattle. Look at verse 21. No, look at verse 21. Hold on. And Adam gave names to the cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. So can we say for Adam, he was still alone. As you know, I say you smile. See some of that. I started smiling, the Jesus smile. And so he gives Jesus a smiling offering. Now look at verse 21. Carefully. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Hold on. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And what happened to Adam? He slept off. And God took out of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. The moment you start thinking of this as biomedical sciences, you have lost the point. The Bible is not to make you wise about biology. It's about the person of Jesus. Are we here? Remember, it is man was without help. So man said, I will make help. This is how God made the help. How did God make the help? He allowed this Adam to fall into a deep sleep. And this Adam slept. And upon the sleep of this Adam, he opened up Adam, glory to God, and brought out the rib. That's why my wife is the rib of my rib. Ta-da. Keep reading. Verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman. And he brought her unto the man. Glorious church. We're living in miracles. We're walking in power. You start smiling soon. Look at verse 23. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman. So follow, please. Because she was taken out of the man. So the helpmeet that man who was alone needed was taken out of a man. Hold on. 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and none shall pluck them from my hands. Hold on. A man shall leave his father and his mother. Dear saints, who was Adam's father and mother at this time? Who was Adam's father and mother at this time? Hold on. So a man will leave and cleave. Oh, glory to God. And they shall be, oh, gracious Father, one flesh. Follow? Look at verse 25. Okay, verse 24, yeah? Go back to verse 24. Let's read that again. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Oh yeah, Ephesians 5. Okay, verse go to verse 30. Go to verse 20. Oh, sorry, verse 25. See what Paul now does. Don't husbands love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for the church. Look at verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So what washes the believer? Water baptism or the word? The word! Water baptism is an open display of something that is unnecessary. All together. Follow? Verse 27. Then he might present it to himself, a glorious church. any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without what? Blemish. 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord. The church, don't lose track here. Verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. She is the bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. What did Paul say? Who did Paul say we are? The believers. Hold on, don't lose track. For we as the church, remember, he's teaching about husbands and wives, and he's teaching about how Christ and the church. So he's telling husbands and wives to see the example between Christ and the church. So he says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Verse 31. For this cause shall a man live. Where is Paul teaching from? Genesis chapter 2, verse what, 22 to 24. Please, don't sleep. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. And the two shall be one flesh. Let's read verse 32 together. 1, 2, 3, go. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning and are we here? So, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, is about Christ and the church. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and become one flesh. It's about Christ and the church. Now, look at what he now says in verse 33. Nevertheless, let everyone. So it means that the cocoa of his message is not the husband love your wife, it's the way Christ loved the church. Are we here? Are we here? So he says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 22. Are we here? So, Paul is making you understand that when he speaks about ribs, members, it's about Christ and the church. So, go back to verse 21, sorry. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Who is that Adam? Who is that Adam? Okay, let me help you. Go back to verse 24. Therefore shall a man live and cleave, and he shall be one flesh. Who did Paul say this is speaking about? Christ and the church. So it means that when you read verse 21, Christ must be one of them, and the church must be the other. So go back to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Who is the Adam there? Christ. What is the deep sleep? He died. I said, Pastor has taught this. I know these things now. So, Lord God caused Adam. It is in the causing of deep sleep that we see the provision of the helpmate. So, look at this. Adam, which is Christ, fell into a deep sleep and he slept. So, what did God do? Who is Adam? Christ. What did God do with Adam? In the deep sleep, he brought out a rib and closed up the flesh. Go back to verse 22. So, who is the rib that God brought out from Adam? The church! Hold on. So, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. So, what is Adam slept and woke up? Christ died and resurrected. So upon the resurrection, there's a rib that came out. What is the rib? The church. Follow? So God had taken from man, made her a woman, and brought her unto the man. Look at verse 23 now. And Adam said, so which Adam is saying here? Adam saying to Eve, or Jesus to the church? Jesus to the church. So Jesus says, this is now the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called what? Woman, because she was taken out of man. Where is the church found from? The church was found from Christ. So the church came out from Christ. Yeah? So Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called what? Woman, because she was taken out of man. So when he says, for this cause, verse 24, for this cause, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Hold on. Is it the wife cleaving unto the man, or the man cleaving unto the wife? The man cleaving unto the wife. So the man is Christ. So Christ is the one cleaving unto the wife. John 10. No one can pluck you out of my hands. Are we together? So therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. So what is shall a man leave? It's a figurative expression to show that God left his supremacy and became a man. So when he says father and mother, don't think of father being, mother being, because let's look at it literally. Who was Adam's father? Who was Adam's mother? So Adam, God, left his totality of supremacy to become a man so that he can supply what? Help. All together. So, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. Paul now tells Ephesians 5, for we are members of his body. We are members of his flesh. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So, is it the woman that cleaves unto the man in reference to church and Christ? No. Christ is holding on to you. Are we together? So, mankind needed help. Is that true? Right? And how did God supply the help? He brought it in the place of the person of God became flesh, which is who? Christ Jesus. So it means that the believer is not without help. Are we together? It means that mankind has been supplied help. What do you need to do? You receive of help. Are we together? So from Genesis chapter 1, dear saints, Genesis chapter 2, Moses taught about eternal salvation. What did he say? Shall cleave and shall become one flesh. For you to become two fleshes again, you have to find out to separate and divide. Are we together? Look at John 10. John 10, 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never what? Perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Why? Because the person holding on to you, the person cleaving unto you, is who? Greater than all. Look at verse 29. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to separate what has become one flesh. Are we together? No man, no one can separate what has become one flesh. So go back to Genesis 2 verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that mankind should be without help. That's why he says what? I will make him an helpmate for him. So it means that the work and the supply of the helpmate to mankind, God himself said he will do it. And how did he do it? He put on flesh. Are we together? He put on flesh. He put on flesh. He put on flesh. Did you learn something? Did you now finally understand all the plenty scriptures we're reading? Did it come handy? Sometimes you may need to go back and listen to these things that we said over and over. Did I just say there was no man called Adam? Let me now even help you better. Adam, what language is Adam? What language is Adam?
What language is Adam? Hebrew. Okay, so if Adam is Hebrew, and the Hebrew lineage started from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who became Israel? So Jacob became Israel. So Israel now became a nationality of Jacob, and the language Hebrew was associated with them. So it means that definitely or most likely, Noah, Adam were not Hebrews. So it means that Adam's real name could not have been Adam, which is an Hebrew name now. Are we together? Are we here?
Yes,
these are people are looking at me. Don't stone me. We just taught God's word. Are we together? So, Christ fell into a deep sleep, that is the death, and upon the resurrection, the church was what?